It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Yo, what's going on, everyone? Welcome to this week's episode in the new year of River City 93. It's been, what, 3 months? 2 months? I forgot. Time is an everlasting thing that doesn't exist in a void of nothingness. But yeah, we're back. New year, new us. How are y'all been? How's your new year been so far? Sucks. I understand it.
I've missed you guys.
Yeah, I miss you too. Miss you too. Matt, how have things been on your end, sir?
We're going okay. We're going okay. New year. Haven't experienced loss in, what, 3 months and a week? Longest streak we've had in ages there.
Boom, there you go. That's the positive outlook. You can't lose a game if you don't play a game, folks.
Yeah.
There you go. Shanir, how are things on your end, sir? How have you been?
Well, they've been doing okay. You know, like Matt said, haven't experienced a loss, so that's a good thing. Just looking towards the new year and still confused about the new competition, but whatever.
Hey, once again, if you don't win, you can score the most goals and win, and that counts for something. There you go. And Kate, how have you been? By the way, I want to shout out Kate real quick because she did an amazing interview with the – what was it? God,
Sporting director, Madeline McCracken.
There you go. I'll let you take it. But yeah, she had an amazing interview with her. Go check it out.
Yeah, it was really great to speak to her and just sort of have that initial contact with – what's going on behind the scenes with W League RVA. Still don't have a team name, a brand, you know. We now have a head coach, which is great. So it's sort of, we're starting to fill in the gaps in terms of what this team is going to look like in the spring. And it was really exciting to have that initial conversation, just get to know her a little bit better and sort of start building that relationship between River City 93 and the front office for W League RVA.
Yeah, I mean, let's go ahead. Let's talk about it. Team just still does not have a name yet, which I find odd. But we do have a new head coach, Kimmy Cummings. Kate, can you tell us a little bit about her? Because I'm pretty sure you're more abreast about knowing about her than any of us would.
Yeah. So they did a great interview with her on YouTube. They actually did an interview with Madeline as well. So those are great to check out as they also have a sort of introductory look at their careers, what brought them to Richmond, but Kimmy is a coach with Richmond United. And so she's bringing the ability to bridge the gap between the youth programs here in Richmond and W League RVA and build that more concrete pathway to pro from the existing programs here in Richmond. That's definitely going to be a priority for her, is engaging with current youth programs, both, you know, with the team, but also with the exposure and the opportunity to watch a higher level team for, you know, girls who are younger in the program. So I'm excited to see what she brings, and I'm excited with the opportunity to interview her ourselves. We got some great questions for her, and hopefully going to learn more about her style as a coach, her priorities for W League RVA, and, you know, what she's excited for in the upcoming season.
Yeah. Have any of y'all bought your W League tickets yet? I bought mine like back in November, but any of y'all got y'all's yet?
Yeah.
That's on the list to be. That's on my to-do list.
I'm second guessing it now, though, because I definitely meant to. Now I can't remember if I actually did.
Yeah.
I'm interested about what the schedule is going to be because we got some Friday night games for kickers with the schedule announced. And so I'm wondering if that has anything to do with the W League schedule. There's like a Wednesday, like a few more Wednesday night games in June. So I'm interested to see what nights they're going to end up playing.
No, I mean, I think when we talked to Camp, he mentioned how they're not going to have the W League team and the kickers play on the same night. So you're not going to have any doubleheaders. They're treating it like it's his own thing. So just got to make time for it. But hopefully, unlike the kickers, we get some closer games. Like, I don't want to drive 6 hours or anything like that. So hopefully so. I know what's the team that just got announced when we got announced? Charlottesville. They just did their team colors and everything like that. So locally, hopefully that's a close game that we can go check out. Take River City 93 in the road.
Yeah.
I mean, I think realistically, you've got to expect it's going to be a quick sprint. Of a season because it is a summer amateur league. Most of them have to get back, for their college preseason. So last year, the championship was mid-July. So season's probably going to be mid-May to end of June, realistically. So I would expect, like doubleheader weekend sort of things where like Friday, Sunday, combos, because I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of these players are, also, doing internships, working jobs, during the summertime as well.
Yeah. Okay, last question about the W League team, but do you have any inkling of how this team's going to go about signing players? Like, where are they looking to sign from? Are they looking like U of R, UVA, wherever?
I know Combine had a lot of current youth players. So I do think that they are looking to the current RU Academy, especially, the U18s, U19s. But they didn't mention any specific programs. I did ask specifically if they had a specific strategy for pursuing players. They did not share any specifics. So it is kind of up in the air about what the breakdown will be, as well as how much experience beyond youth and college players they're looking to bring in, because that can be really helpful from a experience perspective to have players that have played pro or played W League in the past or no longer currently in college to bring in that sort of seniority experience. So we don't have a lot of insight about where they're going to be looking to identify those players as well, whether that's through Combine or if they're going to be reaching out to players in the area. So I'm hoping to ask Kimmy more about that, as well as asking her who takes the lead on recruiting players, whether or not that's coming from a sporting director side, whether or not or if she as a coach is looking to pursue players based on her style of play, or if it's purely, or it's more prioritizing opportunity for locally based players and sort of building a team from who's available versus signing players with a particular or announcing players with a particular profile to fit a specific style of play she's hoping to implement. So hopefully she'll be sharing more about that when I interview her.
All right. Well, we look forward to that when that interview happens. But if you haven't bought your W League ticket, please go get it. Support the women's team as much as you support the men's team. That can be stated more than enough. But we're going to go ahead and switch on over. USL League One has kind of changed this year. We got a new team coming in. Spokane Velocity is coming in. That's the men's team, right? I know the women's team is named Zephyr, which is weird.
You're right.
But we got Spokane coming in. So now the league has kind of balanced itself out. It's a 22-game season. So home and away, there's no more of that two games here than a game here. It's fine in that sense. But then they decided to add it in an in-season tournament, which – Walking 90 did a good interview with Rob Ucrop and that Pink Team's manager. I can't remember his name. But they interviewed him, and Rob talked about the in-season tournament. From what I gather about it, they did this because they wanted to get to a balanced schedule, but they still want to have enough games that it kind of fills in the gaps there. But then we also found out that USL League One and the championship barely don't talk to each other, even though they're all under the same umbrella. and the championship teams didn't want to participate in the in-season tournament because they didn't want, from my understanding, to lose perhaps to League One teams in midweek games. Makes no sense. But hey, here we are. We have a new tournament and a trophy that we can possibly win. Matt, your face shows all the expression of happiness and disappointment at the same time.
Oh, it shouldn't show that. It shouldn't show happiness. Yeah, no, I mean, I appreciate Rob has to go out there and try to sell stuff and be a good soldier for the league. This is a waste of time. The whole idea of, a league cup or something is it's not internalized within 12 teams that already are in the same league. That's called playoffs, right?
Yeah.
We didn't have that, but the league had that already, last year. It works fine, right? And this is, trying to, solve a problem that doesn't exist. Nobody was actually complaining about an imbalanced schedule, before. That's making up, solutions. Like, literally, did you hear one person last year complain, oh, we got screwed because, we had to play this team twice away instead of twice at home? I didn't. And I waste way too much time, reading about this stuff, right? Not only that, format, bad. You're two extra games against, nearby teams. That part, good. They try to regionalize somewhat. But then you get a random two games against, other teams, way out there. We lucked out. We don't have a stray trip out to Washington or California, anywhere like that. Yeah. Yeah, great region for the West, by the way.
That just shows you how big the West is.
It's
a
massive of nothingness.
Not only that, ignoring all that, let's pretend that, this could be something. Top team in each group advance. That makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Can't run it all with just threes. You got to have a wild card, Okay, that makes some sense. It's not who has the most points. It's not who, has best goal difference. It's straight up goals scored. So there is literally no incentive, for any team to do anything other than, especially in the last game of the season, mutually agree. All right, let's each allow 10 goals, in the first 10 minutes, run the score up, and then we'll play it out. Winner advances because we gained the system, ran up the score. You could literally lose every single game, we'll play shootouts constantly, and get in the semifinals. That is asinine. That is stupid. That is bad planning. And it's a bad gimmick. And, Rob can text me and try to talk me off my stance on this. I am right. They are wrong on this. And also, anybody who's listening to this, you bought a season ticket package for 16 games. Right now, because of this change, we only have 15. You're getting shortchanged the game right now. So every club out there, you got sold 16 games. You're currently only scheduled for 15 because of this. Do not let your team steal your money because they changed something and try to pull an okey-doke on you.
Yeah. Pretty much. Very much true. I think what? I think they did say they were trying to find out another game, but that's a friendly. Like, you charge me 16 for regular season games, and unless you're throwing a playoff ticket in there for free, then all right, cool, great, but whatever.
Yeah, that ain't gonna work for four teams.
Yeah, nope. No, it's not. Mm-hmm.
Right. And also the NWSL has an in-season tournament. Nobody takes it seriously as a trophy. I mean, it's something to add, but it definitely falls in the tin pot trophy category that sometimes even gets lumped in as unnecessary games played in terms of fatiguing players in pursuing, the actual trophies that matter, either the supporter shield or the actual championship. So we do have a league with an in-season, a closed league in-season tournament, and I would not say it's something that most of their supporters find particularly engaging or meaningful, and definitely not a trophy that accrues a whole lot of bragging rights when it comes to compared to the supporter shield or the championship. So interesting to see, you know, if more teams are added and they're able to, you know, what that balanced schedule for them looks like home and away against each team, you know, over time. But I think framing it as an in-season trophy, there's more marketing there than there is actual meaning for
This is trying to copy, you know, MLS and Liga MX, you know, hitting gold at the Leafs Cup last year, except they couldn't, you know, get, you know, all their, you know, people to play nice, you know, together, the championship, a bunch of cowards, you know, they all, you know, talk about wanting, oh, we want to have that competition. We want to have competition. No, they want to have competition against MLS. They're the exact same, you know, mindset as MLS is to them. They are to us. They don't take League One seriously. They don't respect League One. You know, their fans don't. The front offices certainly don't. Same exact scenario, just most championship, you know, folks are either, you know, too naive or too blind, you know, to be able to see it. Elliot, serious question on this. Have you heard anything about if they resolved the issue with, you know, the Players Association that came up, you know, with the in-season tournament and, you know, player bonuses?
No, I haven't heard anything to that, but now you give me something to check up on.
So just, you know, in case you missed out on that, you know, literally the USL Players Association, you know, came out pretty hard against this because now that we only have a 22-game season, a lot of player contracts have bonuses, you know, built into them, and some of them are built around appearances or, you know, hitting, you know, certain marks. You know, so if your contract says, hey, you know, get a $5,000 bonus if you appear in 25 league games, literally not possible now. You know, if it was to be able to score, you know, after 10 goals, you get a X amount bonus. Well, a lot harder to do that in 22 versus 32, you know, from last year. So, yeah. You know, for a league that also could not help but pat itself on the back so much about, oh, we bent over backwards to work with, you know, the players to get the Player Association, you know, up and running, you know, a couple years ago, they definitely did not, you know, collaborate with them at all in making a very unilateral sweeping change in the structure of their league.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of disappointed on that front. I mean, my look at the in-season tournament is it feels like a gimmick and we probably won't care about it if we get knocked out of the group. But if we win the group and win the cup, then it'll be all right, cool. I just wonder, I don't know. Like, right now, it's kind of like the third priority on my list. Like, I would much rather make it to the actual playoffs in USL League One to try to win the league title and maybe get win a game in the US Open Cup, maybe two, and play an MLS. Like, that right now is kind of where I'm looking at, and then the League Cup. I wouldn't be shocked if we see a lot of rotation. Like, it wouldn't shock me if Darren is like, all right, we're going to play a lot more of the rotation size, you know, a lot more of the kids. This is probably where Beckett Howell and others, like, probably we get some play. By the way, as well, who is it? I think it's RVA United are in the USL Academy. So some of those players might come up and play in some of these games, just depending on where they are. We don't know when these games are scheduled yet. I know they released the league schedule, but I don't know when these games are scheduled yet.
The cup games?
The cup games. Do we know when they're scheduled yet?
Yeah, they're mixed all in, you know, the schedule. They're scattered. So it's not like the NWSL one like Kate was talking about where there's a clear, like, oh, or Leafs Cup and MLS where they just take a month off and do this. It's like we got a couple games in May and then, like, nothing until June. But I think the last, you know, round is, like, August or something and then something like that.
You know what this reminds me of? And I don't know if y'all might not be too familiar with it. But it's like in England in League One and League Two, they play, what is the Johnson Pate Trophy? It's like their own cup competition in those two leagues. Like, this is what that reminds me of. Like, it's like, obviously, they care about the league, then the FA Cup, then I think it's the Carabao Cup, and then the Johnson Pate Trophy. But it's like, if you win it, you don't get anything from it. It's just saying, like, oh, hey, we got a cup. I do like the fact that there's prize money. So if there is prize money in this, I don't understand why the champions of the league doesn't get a prize money either. They need to work on that as well on that front. But, I mean, if you look at, like, our group, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't really see us making it out of the group. We maybe get third place. maybe second. It's just a tough group overall. Like, you got Charlotte, Greenville, and Tormenta. Tormenta's kind of up in the air. Greenville is looking to rebuild after Hark's just retired. No, well, not retired. He stepped down in the last year. And then Charlotte looks to be reloading with all the guys they got. Yeah, but I don't know. Like, let me ask y'all this. Where do you guys place this tournament in terms of importance? Matt, I know where you stand, so you don't got to answer.
Right.
Well, I think that with Matt on this, it's really pointless. Now, one thing, Matt, that you did point out, if this is used to allow maybe up and coming, just coming out of the players, some playing time and seeing if we can get some of the guys that are spending more of their time onto the field, I can understand. But I don't see that happening because of the fact that if you add the league game, these games, does it not come up to about the same amount of games we were playing last season? So that means if the starting could play that many games last season, why would they cut them out of these games? Which then at a position of, okay, so the bench warmers still don't even get time on the field because the field players don't need to be rested that much because this is a normal season for them. So it's useless. It's, to be honest with you, you're not getting any new talent more time on the field because the teams, the players, the starting 11 go playing these games on top of the regular season since we've shortened the regular season or at least reduced the amount of games. So it's not, to me, it's just something that's in the way. Mm. It's just in the way and useless furniture.
I agree also from looking at like the priorities of the league, which is often you're trying to increase attendance. You're trying to put on a good show for the fans who are showing up. Most leagues, most teams are still building their fan bases, building the support at the grassroots level. So having a critical mass of matches that might be treated as secondary is not necessarily going to create a more entertaining atmosphere, because how much is the average USL League One attendee knowing about this in-season tournament versus the regular league? How many people are going to be showing up to these matches not knowing? It's not like the FA Cup where there's separate branding and there's, you know, enough people, you know, separate ticketing, an entirely separate, different experience. Instead, people, fans might be showing up to these matches that are then treated as a chance to rotate. You see lower quality play on the field. You have players who you might not recognize. You know, the average fan who's showing up to League One games, you have to wonder whether or not this is going to increase people's interest in attending matches, because there isn't necessarily the knowledge base to know week in, week out, whether or not, you know, the game is a regular league game or this in-season tournament. So from a fan perspective, you know, we're super tapped in, we know the difference, but you know, the average person showing up to matches, this is gonna impact, especially since it's a pretty high number of matches overall within the season. So if it takes that route of the rotation of the trying the bench players, you know, it might even have a detrimental impact on, you know, someone's experience if they didn't know that they spent $20 on a game and it turns out that, you know, it's not very good.
I'm actually not as worried about that side of it, just because, you know, to kind of, you know, almost go on the same point, most people don't and won't know the difference. I mean, let's be real, even a lot of people, you know, that we talk to at the games, it's going to be, you know, explaining, wait, why is this going into PKs all of a sudden? Well, it's a cup game. It's not, you know, a league game, you know, right now. So I think the fact that people won't know the difference means they won't know the difference. They'll just come either way. And so it'll just go straight back to how the sales team is doing, which is clearly, you know, the strongest, you know, part of the club, you know, the last couple of years.
Yeah, I hope they got their bonuses. They deserve it. My last thoughts on this in-season tournament is, it is nice to see that there are, you know, regionalized groups. It's not like we got a group of like us and Omaha, Fuego, and whatnot. And now, because of the balanced schedule, we only make that Fuego trip once. So in that sense of it, like the clubs kind of do save money on that. Like the travel of it isn't as crazy, but I don't know. We'll see.
Or at least we save money, and that's really all we care about. I don't care if Tormenta has to, you know, fly an extra time or whatever.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. I want to ask how it is. Over under how many penalty kick games did we play?
So out of eight, yeah. Four.
Four.
I'd be interested in how many goals we score.
I got six.
If we don't score any goals, zero. We'll lose.
That will be one thing. Like, if we lose, you know, a game or two, and you know, it's looking highly unlikely that we, you know, finish, you know, top of the group, there's no reason to play any defenders. It should all just be all attack all the time, because there should only be one objective at that point, which is to run up the goal total.
Go. Just go score. Go score. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how teams adapt to this. Because, like, given point, if you're already out of the playoffs, like how we were last year, and we had this in-season tournament, what's stopping Darren or any coach to be like, all right, well, we're out of the League One playoffs. Let's just switch our attention to the in-season tournament and try to make that our trophy for a year.
Yeah, I think this is how the games are split up throughout the season. I don't think it's very likely that you'll be able to tell early enough, you know, that you're out of it for, you know, the regular season and still have time to actually be able to make it happen for,
that's true,
yeah, you know, the in season.
Yeah, that's true. That's true as well. Well, all right. Well, we'll see about that, see how that goes. But I think we'll move on to the part that everyone is pretty much interested in. Who's here? Who's returning? Who's back? So we got a couple of signings, even though the team is being a little slow on them signings. I need them a lot more. So this is what we got. We got Nathan Ani. He's coming back. Dakota's back on a multi-year contract. Chris Cole, Simon Fitch, Beckett Howe, Landon Johnson, Zaka Moran, and Emiliano Tozagi, and Neil Vinos. So we have those.
Jow.
Oh, yeah, Jow. My fault. Yeah. Is he in Jow here? No, he. Oh, yeah, Jow. There you go. And Jow resigned. Yay. And Justin Suka. So we have those players returning. New players added.
Well, you missed Sierkowski too.
Sierkowski.
And Chandler.
Oh, Chandler. I'm just thinking of all of them. All right. So, new players. We got Arthur Buswell, Gui França, Pablo Jara, Maxi Sheinfeld, and James Vaughn. Those are the new players in. So, let's talk about the new guys in first. All right. Let's start it off. Pablo Jara. Goalkeeper from South Georgia Tormenta. We got to delete a couple of tweets, but how we feel about him coming in to take the reins over for Akira and goal. Anyone?
Letting them go first.
I did check how tall he is to compare. He's the same height as Akira, so.
I don't know if that
means we're no longer beating the short keeper allegations.
Well, he's just. I mean, I also looked up how tall he was. How tall does Akira claim to be?
Akira claims to be 5'9".
It's a hard list.
Really might be 5'8".
I thought I saw a hard list at 6 foot, which.
Yeah.
That's
also seems generous. 10.
Yeah, 5'10".
Akira's 5'11", so. You're so different.
Okay, Kira's 5'9". Me and that man, we both love each other.
I was going to say, I'm 5'11". And
I saw him in real life once. I saw him at a brewery, and he was the tallest person there. So I will say, he is made to look short by everyone else on the field, but when I saw him in real life out in the wild, I was shocked at how tall he was. So apologies, the slander.
There's a wild Kira. Go catch it. I think my biggest issue with Pablo has been he'll make the big save and then he'll give you a gaff. Like, there's been multitude of games that we have seen and watched of South Georgia's tournament where it's just like, Pablo, really? Like, how are you letting that in? And I'm not ready for that to happen and seeing that in City Stadium, because I'm going to lose my crap. I'm going to lose my mind if that happens. But, I mean, it's looked like a solid sign. And, I mean, you got a goalkeeper that's right at Akira's ability. I mean, of course, Akira last year was going down. But outside of that group of maybe, like, Nuhu is probably one of the best goalkeepers in League One. Doko's goalkeeper, Charlotte's. Like, Pablo's probably in that next group, like, four to, like, seventh. You think so? I'm not saying he's up there the best one. Like, but fourth to seventh best goalkeepers in the league, I'll put him there, maybe. Like, maybe seventh.
Maybe, but I don't know. Not a fan. I mean, I think Tormenta's had one good 2 month, you know, spell in 5 years, and he was on the bench during that time. He lost his job to TJ Bush during that time, who was also available from Virginia. Tall, I think, better than Pablo. Seems like he could have been a nice fit. I mean, I've never been impressed with Ara. I've always thought that he was the weak link on, you know, the Tormenta teams. Hopefully I'll be, you know, eating these words, you know, come later in the season and, you know, this is a better fit, you know, for him. And that's not going to be the last time I say that line on this podcast, you know, today. But it's not one that, you know, inspires. It was also, you know, the clear signal that, you know, yes, Akira is actually leaving 3 months after he signed a multi-year contract, and they made a big fuss about that, by the way.
Yeah.
So, way to set your roots in Richmond like you were talking about, Akira. Cool. Bye.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm not disappointed to see Akira leave, because I think we've all said, like, all right, it looked like Akira was getting past it, but to sign him to a new deal and then for him to leave, and then not get anything really from it, like no kind of money. I don't think we got like a transfer fee or like any kind of compensation from NCFC or anything from it.
But, I mean, they would never tell us, but even the language and the releases didn't suggest anything.
Yeah, so kind of disappointed on that.
How does that work, though?
What do you mean? Like a transfer fee?
The biggest thing for me with situation, I mean, it was a shock for me to see him go, but for me is that there was, especially after hearing sign a new deal, how does it work that we get nothing? I could understand if he didn't sign a new deal and his contract ran out, then he's a free agent. Then, yeah, we don't get a dime. But if he's under contract, there should be some money leaving from NCAA coming to the Tigers.
Release him from the contract and magically he's a free agent.
I'm imagining that's what he did. They just released it. And I mean, honestly, we don't even know if Akira is going to be playing for NCFC. Like, he might just be the goalkeeper coach.
I was going to say, we know. He ain't ever going to play in a game that matters for them.
Yeah. Like, he'll probably be the goalkeeper coach that's, like, the backup goalkeeper in case of emergencies. So, I mean, we'll see. Like, with this not being a thing, I do wonder how Darren goes about building out of the back, because I don't know how well Pablo is with long balls. I know that was one of like a Kara strong suits, but we'll see. We get more game footage with him. Another new signing, another man from Tormenta, Mr. Arthur Boussois. Tall target striker. He's missed a few games because of injury. Really, if you wipe away, what was it, Matt? 2022, when he tore his ACL?
Mm-hmm.
And then missed all of 2022. 2023 comes back. He's not really starting, but I mean, one thing I didn't put out there, like, the man's not afraid to shoot. And for a team that sucked at shooting, we need more of him. And it's good to see, like, we got a reliable USL League One, like, capable striker. You know, that's something that this team has been lacking for the better part of a year or so. So, thoughts on Arthur joining the Kickers?
I'm looking forward to possibly the hyped factor. We've got a great target striker whose height is not his main asset. So interesting to see if a partnership where we've got one who can more hold up play and take those, you know, more accurate strike inside the box versus maybe a target man for the crossing that we didn't really get too much of this past season. So maybe we get a little bit more success out of the air.
Yeah. Shanair?
It's great to see another striker in the book. Hopefully, as you said, he seems to be someone who's not take shots, which is something that we have been very shy about. So hopefully that gives us a bit of a difference, gives us a bit of a little more electricity in the front, a little more oomph, so to speak. I'm kind of sick and tired of literally having to kickers pass the ball around and never shoot. So we'll see what he brings. I honestly, if he can set the tone with that, set the twist, taking more shots and kind of entice some of the others to shoot more, hopefully that'll change the dynamic of the team. But I didn't see anything in terms of his history, in terms of his highlights, in terms of anything that showed him to be that exceptionally better and like an exceptional player.
Yeah. I will say this though, Nathan Audi, as I like to call him, QB1, now has his possession wide receiver that he can throw to, have an actual target. So that's helpful for him. Yeah, we'll see. What were you about to say, Matt?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, part of it is, you know, coming off that injury, right? He blew up his, you know, knee partway through, you know, 2022, you know, didn't make it back until midway through last season. So hopefully it's that now that he's, you know, have a full year back, he'll be, you know, fully back into it. You got a good African player in, you know, to the team now, carry on that long history. Terribly, terribly disappointed, you know, when he put out his Instagram and it sounds like it's no accent anymore. It just sounds like a regular American guy because South African accent I find enjoyable. So that was disappointing. It's a different type of striker. And I think in a vacuum, cool. I think the issue is it's going to be the same issue we've had with Emmy. Is great. Who's getting them the ball?
Yeah. And the team hasn't signed any identifiable wingers yet, so that's really a big issue. We still don't know what's going on with Delmar or Bentley. We don't know if they're going to be signed yet or they're moving on. We do know Gordon, he's going to Montego Bay in Jamaica. His Instagram post is makes it seem like he was the man. But there's a litany of left behind balls that I would like to show Gordon on breakaways that, like, sir, you left some chances here. Do you think, I mean, obviously, do you think with the way how the signs are going so far, do you think Darren might be looking to change the system up? We know last year it was built around possession and, you know, all that stuff. But based on the signing so far, it seems like Darren might be going with a different outlook on things. Because, we just got Guy in. He's a center back, but can also play, I think, CDM. But he's a college player. How do you think Darren's looking to use him?
I mean, I'm not even going to pretend like I've ever seen this guy play. Yeah, before. I assume he's at best center back three right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, behind, you know, Dakota and Ani and fighting Cole, you know, for, you know, who gets that first spot when one of them inevitably, you know, gets red carded or, you know, picks up too many yellows. Because let's pray to God we don't see any more of the, you know, Suko or, you know, Chandler at center back experiment because. Seen enough of that.
Taylor is center back in the third game of the in-season tournament.
I don't even know when that is.
It's not a clone. So moving on, I mean, obviously we don't know much about him, but I mean, Darren is answering one question that we did have, with, and that is defensive depth. We were pretty much on that, and we saw how this team's lack of depth kind of shoehorned them into not so good results. So having more depth probably will help out a lot. Another Fuego pipeline player. I don't know what it is about us and Fuego left backs. We seem to love them. Maxi Sheinfeld, 32-year-old, was a free agent. What played last in Major Arena Soccer League for a year. Previous to that, he was with Fuego, but he joins the Kickers. Matt, it seems like Darren has it out for you by signing all of your arch nemesis.
It's not my arch nemesis. I just think the guy's a hot-headed hack. And just because he's picked up multiple red cards, I think, in each of his League One seasons, I assume this has to be like, oh, hey, Pablo, you're Chilean. You need a Chilean buddy? All right, here's this guy. It's like, why has he only been playing indoor for the last year and a half? Yeah, he couldn't – like, Fuego wouldn't even take him back. Last year,
I don't know, man. I will say this: I look at this signing in two things. One is a veteran defensive player, someone from Beckett to learn from the right things, hopefully, not the red card part. But also, like, we know how Maxi is as a player. Like, we know he's aggressive, and honestly, like, the defense kind of need that aggression back. Like, they kind of lost their bite over the course of the year. So having someone back there that's – like, I tweeted out there, like, with him and Zaka on the field, we might not win a game, but we damn sure ain't losing a fight.
I don't know. Zaka might have gone soft now that he's pops.
Oh, yeah. He has a father now. You got to look out and set a good example for the kid. But, yeah, any thoughts on Maxi, Shanae, or Kate?
Much the same with you guys, and I talked about it in the before we started off air. As a coach, as a youth coach, I am hardwired to not be a fan of indoor soccer. In the youth coaching realm, we kind of call it soccer hockey. Not a big fan of it, and view it more as means for, especially at the youth level, for players to develop bad habits. Granted, he's a professional player. He's played several years on a professional level, but I don't know. Much like you said, if Fuego would take him back, what's going on, and why are we going after someone who is known for picking up a lot of cards when we already have that in Zaka? When it comes to fullbacks, I am more inclined to think that we would be looking for someone who's a little more level-headed, because that is a position that requires a lot of quick thinking, and the play moves quickly out there. You have to be able to catch players without fouling them. The more you foul them, it's basically like giving away corner kick after corner kick after kick. And we don't need that. We've already struggled here and there, especially in crucial moments in games on set pieces. So to bring in someone who has the liability of putting us on the defensive end of set pieces on a regular basis from the wing is not something I'm too stoked about. So we'll see what happens. Experience is one thing that could maybe give us a boost, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know about him as a player. I have not tracked his career or been watching as much as you all have, of course. I am I do know, you know, especially in every league, there could be a lot of culture reasons why players, you know, end up not fit clubs, you know, disagreements at the, with the coaching staff, with the style of, with dissatisfaction, with treatment. We see that a lot at every level of the sport. So there could be an element of, especially as a player becomes more senior in their career, sort of those sorts of disagreements, especially with the lower levels of player protection and the fewer level number of options for players at this level. So see, so I could, as someone, I don't have any previous biases against him, so I could potentially extend him a, you know, a sliver of benefit of the doubt there, because I know that players can, there can be a lot of issues, you know, interpersonal issues that lead to players, you know, not vibing with their clubs, their coach staff, et cetera. So possibly could be looking for that fresh start, looking for, you know, to, you know, regain his reputation and sort of earn his place back at this level after taking that time off. And I will say we gave up a lot of bullshit goals in front of Chanel last year. We got celebrated in front of by a lot of players. And it didn't always seem like the defense had that dog in them in order to not sort of fold in those meaningful moments and let bullshit goals get let in, especially in matches where it matters. I would hope a player who maybe has a bit of an edge to him, who might not be, who take a bit more pride in the performance, the defensive performances, and hopefully not fold as easily as possibly saw, especially when a lot of those came from the wings. So yeah, I was not impressed with our defense's performance last year, especially in terms of how much pride they seem to take in their performances and how much. So I'd be interested to see if that brings an attitude shift in terms of the intensity of the tackles, in terms of, you know, there's good and bad. You know, I'm a Tottenham Hotspur fan. Christian Romero is one of the most controversial center backs in the game due to his aggression. That's sometimes become a liability, but you can also see that in terms of setting a tone, in terms of there can be some positives, especially when we've seen our defense fold in pretty humiliating ways over the past season. So if he were to bring that level of aggression in a positive direction, I think that's something our backline could benefit from. It seems like possibly we needed someone to step up in terms of attitude and leadership last year, and could possibly see that from him.
Yeah, and honestly, like, if this helps with the development of Becca Howe, a player I think we're all kind of hyped for, I think it's a positive. I think it's good to see him come in, and I doubt Maxi will play every game in and out, so Becca Howe will probably play some games there. We'll see. At least his development. Other new player that was brought in, last one, Mr. James Vaughn from Wellington United. They play, if I remember correctly, the Northern Premier South, which is like the sixth leg of English soccer. It's down there. But
yeah.
I think he also played in Detroit City back in 2022 or 2021. I kind of looked at Wellington United Instagram, I mean, Twitter posts when they released him back in October. And it seemed like the fans missed him. They seemed like he was a hardworking midfielder for them. So once again, another, I'm assuming more depth from what I could tell. It was probably a connecting piece, something that this midfield probably misses, but I think he's what, 29?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. So a little bit older, so not as you want to be, but I mean, this midfield last year was just, it got ran into the ground. Like, there were parts where Neil was injured or hurt, Suko and Zhao were in and out of form, Zaka, you could tell he was exhausted. And I mean, the more defensive depth, the better, honestly, at this point. I'll take it. So, thoughts on James and how you're going to do in transition to the club?
I mean, he has experience playing in the States, like you referenced. He played for Detroit City before they joined USL, so back in their NISA days, which I mean, I don't have the highest regard for that standard, especially that time, but at least he has some experience knowing in general what the American game is like and all about. Clearly chose to come back over here, so that's a plus. And again, I'm not going to pretend like I'm a huge hugely knowledgeable about him in any way, because I'm not. I know he's not that James Vaughn, the one that played for who was it, Everton or a couple other teams that has the same name spelled the exact same way, which really messes with your Google searches when you're trying to find stuff on them. But yeah, I mean, if he can be able to provide kind of a more true box to box kind of presence, which I don't really think we had. Like, that's not really Zhao's game. That wasn't Suko's game. That might be able to help Neil out some and free him up a little bit more, but also at the same time help Xhaka out and not kind of just leave him on an island at times in the defensive mid. We'll see what he brings to the table.
It's going to be interesting. Kate, Chenier, anything you guys would like to add?
Much of the same. A player who's played in the championship knows what that level is like. So, hopefully he'd be able to hang with the pace of League One. One thing that I did see is that he also can fill in at right back if need be. So that provides a little bit of depth there if we only need Xhaka at the defensive midfield position. It also makes me wonder about where Darren is going in terms of the lineup. If he is going to be using frequently, and if so, does that mean we have a double pivot defensive midfield area, or is he going to be switching him and Xhaka out, which means single pivot defensive midfield position? So again, it depends on what he wants to do, and he would be able to have both of them on the field at the same time if he were to stick James Vaughn at right back. So we've got options, and We'll see what happens with him. Hopefully, from what you're saying, from where he came from, Welling United, saying that they felt that he was a hardworking player. Hopefully, he brings that work rate and that engine with him, because that's what I like to see the most in players. I'm gonna put out week in, week out. Are you going to give 100% week in, week out? Or are we going to be like, which James Vaughn are we going to see this week? I don't want a season like that. So hopefully he brings that hard work and that work rate, that work mentality with him to us.
So those are the new signings who we got in so far. Once again, we're still waiting on a winger. We haven't seen any of that happen yet. But we'll see. The players that are leaving, so we know we got the Akara. He's gone. He's left to go to NCFC. Owe Gordon, he's gone to Montego Bay United. And Elon Mumford, of course, he went to University of Pittsburgh. Michael Hornsby also departed the club as well. We kind of knew that what was happening. And not the one that hurt me the most, but it's sad to see, is Luke Pavone. He left the club. So right now, I think the only players left from that 2019 team, I don't think anyone's left from the 2019 team.
No, don't think so.
No. And there's only, if I remember correctly, there's only six players left from the title winning team. Neil, who's left? Hold on, because I wrote it down. So, where is it? Where is it? Oh, here it is. So we got, yeah, Neil, Zaka, Dakota, Nathan. There's two more. Simon. I think those are the only ones left from the title winning team. So this team. Oh, yeah, Chandler. That's right. I forgot about Chandler. Six. That's right. So outside of that, that title winning team is pretty much gone. The 2019 team, all ties to that are now gone. Yeah. Thoughts on Luke leaving the club? Anything like that? For real, I kind of hate it because he was like a fan favorite, but I get it at the same time. You're trying to.
Yeah, he was a people champion.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we all knew that. I think everybody kind of knew that was happening. Like it was pretty much an open secret, you know, as it was. Yeah. Definitely always, you know, left it all on the field. Yeah, so can't say that about everybody. But yeah, I mean, this is 100% Darren's team now. So no, you know, no excuses about player personnel, anything like that. You know, that, you know, guys were, you know, who you inherited. You know, ran all those guys out. And interesting that a lot of the known conflicts, you know, kept on coming up with guys who were already here before Darren got here. So we'll see who the scapegoat is this year.
We'll see. So Luke is gone. Also, God, now his name is escaping me. Willie Palms. Did some searching, saw that he wasn't signed with anyone yet, so that was kind of concerning to me. So the way how I'm going to do this, I'm going to throw out a name, and you guys tell me whether or not Richmond should re-sign him or just let him be a free agent. All right? Kelton Belmar.
What was that name?
Oh, God. Carlton Belmar. I'm getting back in the flow of doing this. Should we re-sign him or let him be a free agent?
New year, same Elliot. We love it.
Yeah, it's not changing.
I've always been team Belmar should be super sub, and for some reason, Darren kept starting him. Every time he played, he started. That just never made sense to me in terms of his profile, in terms of his age, in terms of his energy. So I, if continued to use as is, I would say free agent. But I just always felt like with his pace, but age, he should have been coming on late in order to, you know, inject energy and pace. And for some reason, he just kept starting. It felt like he never hit his top speeds and he didn't have energy to play for as long as he did. So continued use as is, a free agent. I did not think he added much. But in a super sub role, I could see potential there. So that's all, in my opinion.
All right. Matt Chenier, what about y'all?
I'm kind of in the same boat with Kate on this one. Belm, great super sub. If we get more wingers, keep them. If don't, and we're relying, switch them out, go get another one. Because he is not the type of player that can hold for a full 90. But he can, as you said, Kate, inject some pace and some electric flair late in the game coming at a tired defense. It's a great situation to keep him to use as a sub. But if you're not going to use him as a super sub, you may as well let him go.
All right. Now he can go. I don't know if y'all like know something I don't know, and he got a time machine, but what pace? That dude was slow last year.
That's because he was playing 60, 70 minutes. He refused to sprint because he knew he didn't have the legs to act.
Well, see, that's the thing, Matt, and that's a common misconception with regards to when you're playing. You will not. It's much easier to come on late in the game, inject your pace, than to start a game at pace. It's one of the main reasons why when players back from injury, they're usually brought on in the 70th minute or whatnot. And you'll see a lot of times those players, when you bring them on in the 70th minute or bring them on in the 65th minute, you a really good 15, 20 minutes at the end of the game. But it's like, but the play, and but they'll tell you, oh, this player is not, it's not 90 minutes fit. If they can give you that, it's a mental thing. It's a mental thing. At the end of the day, he's not going to go 100% with the first sprint of the game knowing that he has to play a whole 90. Just psychologically, your brain will not let you do that.
Either way, if we get a 24-year-old Carlson Belmar, yeah, absolutely. We're not, so bye.
All right. So next player, Matt Bentley. Resign or free agent?
He can go to, you know, if you're a forward, you only score one goal in a season. No, bye, get gone.
Okay.
And it's not like he was didn't get tons of playing time either.
Yeah.
I don't see him getting played in preferred position of center forward, where he did seem to have a bit more success. Obviously, there's like mentality and form played a huge role in his willingness to shoot and, you know, the ways he got involved. But also, a lot of the players who we seem to be on the out are our forward players, Owain, Luke. Obviously, they weren't starting, but, you know, if we only have two up top, I'm hoping we're going to see some more offensive players brought in, because right now those are the ones who are going out. So if we don't bring anyone else in, I would not want to rely on 2 to 3 forward options total in a team that could not goal to save their own lives. So if we don't see any more incomings, I'd be concerned about letting go.
All right.
Bench rotation options.
Matt Shanier real quick. Oh, Matt, you already said Shanier real quick. Keeping her resign or letting go?
I mean, you've had a whole, two seasons to try and consistently play him in the right position and you haven't. You may as well let him go. If you're not going correctly – if you're going to try and use a hammer to screw a nail in, to screw a screw, after a while, you may as well throw away the hammer if you're not using it correctly.
All right.
I mean, he played there the whole second half of last season when Emmy was hurt and did absolute nothing. So,
yeah.
I mean, the whole team was nothing by that point.
Too many of them are back as it is anyway. Don't need to, you know, compound that problem.
All right. Next up, we got Mr. Jake Meacham. Resign or let him go?
I wouldn't have minded him coming back, but the way that Darren seems to be collecting defensive players right now, I mean, what's the point?
Yeah. I wouldn't mind it either. I wouldn't mind it. This is why I wouldn't mind resigning back.
Mm-hmm. If he's happy to still be a bench player, that's fine.
Yeah.
I'm with you guys. It's at the end of the day, if we're loading up on fullbacks and defensive players, if he wants to be a practice player, all right, fine.
I'm never going to waste our time with David Olsen because, much like that question, you barely saw him on the field.
Hey, do you not remember in preseason, what was it, 2022? You know, there's quotes about him being the best striker on the team or some nonsense like that.
Oh, yeah. I think we saw him play, like, what, one half of the US Open
team? He scored in the – I saw him score a goal for us in an Open Cup game against Nova FC up here.
Yeah. That was it. I'm never going to waste that time with that one. Nick Simmons, I think he committed to UVA, right?
Yeah, but he's only like a junior or something. So. Yeah.
All right. Ethan Vandercourt Decker, would you re-sign him or let him go?
I don't know enough about where he's at right now, like physically, mentally, where he's at, right? We don't know enough. Since they like to keep things so hush-hush, we have no way of knowing if how close to 100% EVD is, whether he's mentally prepared to play again.
He played in the last game, right?
Yeah, he played like the last 3 or 4.
Okay, yeah. So at least we know he's back in that
way. Yeah, but the last three or four minutes in a game of complete chaos doesn't give me anything.
Like, is he cool just being like, all right, I was able to come back, play, and go out on my own terms? You know, it's kind of like that average to it. Me personally, if you can bring him back to be like a backup to Neil in that capacity, because I don't think he's a winger or anymore like that, then yeah, cool. You know, it doesn't hurt to have another offensive player on the bench that you can rotate in to help out. If he's looking to be a starter, I'm kind of passing it. I'm letting that contract slide across my desk. Yeah. What y'all gonna say?
No, go ahead, Kate.
Oh, I was just gonna say, I mean, I think the club did a great, I mean, I'm sure in his contract, but you know, employing him while he did his full year-long rehab, essentially missed the entire season. I think that was great. I don't think we obviously signed him midway through the season, so he's never gotten a full season with the Kickers to show, you know, what he could bring to the table. But in the snatches we've seen, I wouldn't say I feel he owes us to stay, you know, in like as a reciprocation of like employing him through his rehab. I wouldn't go so far as to say, oh, well, he needs to stay because, you know, we kept him on his contract. So
I'll say that one.
I wouldn't say, I think, well, as in, I don't think he's necessarily of a high quality that I would feel miffed if he left or feel like the team lost a significant asset, because we haven't seen what he can do. So if he left, I don't think it just has that much of an impact. It's not like I wouldn't think he found his role within the team. So I don't think it impacts the squad or sort of the lineup if he so goes. But I don't feel like he's demonstrated enough that I would be offended if he were to like move on for his career, because never saw much from him.
That guy owes us a year at the absolute, you know, USL 1 minimum for carrying him, you know, on the roster all of last year, knowing full well he was never going to contribute. But if he is actually, you know, back, he's a good player. He's a potential all-league quality player, as demonstrated when he was at, you know, Omaha, even the second half of 2022, you know, for us until he got hurt. You know, he helped boost us up even more. Three or four goals in that, you know, couple of months, you know, before his, you know, ankle exploded, you know, on him. So, yeah, if he's recovered, he can absolutely, you know, be an asset. That's obviously a big if, though. So, we'll see. But I'll be sour if he shows up on a different roster. How about that?
Okay. Fair enough. Yeah. We'll see. So also a little bit of Kickers news. Since Akira left, we do have a new goalkeeper coach, Evan Munn. He's come from Oregon State. So currently right now, this team is lacking depth in goalkeeper and winger. So we'll see about that. I don't think we talked about it, but the USL Academy, the Richmond United, Reichenair, or is it Richmond Strikers? Which one is the higher one?
Richmond United
is going to be representing the Richmond Kickers in the USL Academy League. So we'll see how that goes. I'm pretty sure players like Gabe Cox, if they're still playing, what's the other one? Alvito. We never saw him play. But yeah, Alvito, James Snyden, Gabe, maybe they'll play with the USL Academy, and if they do well there, then maybe they come up to the main roster. But the roster of this team, it looks to be the builder of this team looks to be one of which they'll sign some big players if they can, but mostly it looks like they're gonna try to rely on the youth, because they don't have the deep pockets like a Lexington or a One Knox. Or for Madison, who could go out here and just sign guys like, I think, Madison's got like three guys that were potentially at one point in the Golden Boot race in between 2022 and 2023, right? Richmond doesn't have those kind of deep pockets, so they got to find it in different ways, which I'm not mad at, but, you know, it kind of sucks when you see these guys out here with, I don't know, massive amounts of talent. But hopefully like what happened to us, everyone implodes round June and we just sneak our way into the playoffs. Yeah. Yay. Yay. This is the last question I got for y'all before we wrap up, but right now, I know it's very early on in the season. We're about 60 days out from the start of the season, right? We got the two preseason games against Loudoun, which are closed to the public, whatever. But what right now would consist of a good season? You know, obviously winning the league title would be a great season, but what would be like, all right, we're having a good season. Darren's job is safe for y'all. Like, what would that be?
Make the playoffs.
Okay.
At least make the playoffs.
Okay. Matt, Kate.
Because again, like we talked about, this is his team now. You know, this is completely his team. So now I want to see what you can do. That you can't say that there's anyone left on the squad that's from before the playoffs with the players that you've chosen.
Yeah. If y'all need a moment, better.
I would say to me, it's a lot about scoring goals at home, winning at home. That winless streak is obviously unacceptable. But it didn't feel unacceptable, I guess, from the performances that we just kept seeing week in, week out. So, taking a bit more responsibility for performances, especially just at home and in terms of putting the ball in the net. To me, if you do those things, it's hard to miss the playoffs if you're consistently scoring goals and at least winning at home. That'll put you in a very good position. Didn't see a whole lot of sort of responsibility around taking responsibility for performances and putting on a good show. Because I don't know how you go from, you know, what did the social media team say, the best show on Bermuda grass two seasons ago to half a season without a win. So an attitude change in terms of what we can expect, at least in terms of goals scored and home record.
But Kate, the culture's good. Culture's not the issue. Yeah.
Culture in the dressing room, maybe. I'm so happy that they were hugging, kissing, and doing kumbaya in the dressing room. It would have been nice that if the fans could have, you know, had some.
That's when you bring Maxie in. He's going to fly tackle somebody from behind and get it all started.
Yeah.
If we can't cheer goals, we might as well cheer slide tackles.
Yeah. As said, playoffs is minimum expectation, especially now that playoffs, you know, are eight teams and not just six. Like, even less reason you know, miss out, you know, on this, especially if, you know, you're maintaining that, you know, you have the, you know, the players, you have, you know, what you need. Because, like, something's got to give, you know, here. I swear to God, if we blow more two-goal leads this year, I'm going to – I mean, hair is already starting to go. It's going to go faster, you know, because I'm going to be ripping it out. I mean, how many times last season? You know, maybe we show up in the second half at all. I mean, that was almost a meme by the end of last year. It's like, you know, halftime. All right, hey, we feel pretty good about, you know, how we were looking. We're up a goal or we're level, you know, something like that. Well, let's just wait and see. And then inevitably, the second half was just a disaster zone for any number of reasons, you know. So full 90s, that'd be swell. That'd be great, you know. And so that's the on-field part. I think off the field, you know, show a little more engagement, you know, between, you know, the actual club and the community. I'm not even saying the fans directly, you know, but, you know, use Instagram stories to tell, you know, story of guys out in the community, you know, being able to showcase, you know, how they're connecting out there. You know, we saw what, one or two with, like, you know, RVA access last year. That's cool. Let us see those sort of things. Let us actually get to know, you know, the personalities of the players a little bit, you know, rather than it, you know, just being, okay, hey, you know, good game, even though, no, they were not good games. They're very, very not good games. And then, you know, disengagement, you know, for a week until, you know, the next game, rinse and repeat. Like, you know, if it's supposed to be a community club, it's supposed to be really, you know, built on the grassroots, show that. And that's not, you know, making up what I'm almost positive are forced or fake quotes in every single press release. Like, oh, I can't wait to see, you know, the Red Army and blah, 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 blah. These guys don't know who the hell we are yet. You know, they're, you know, being told, you know, what to say. It's, it, at least to me, it comes across as pandering, you know, and
the good guys.
Yeah. It's like,
yeah.
It's like, you don't need to go over the top with it. It's like, oh, hey, you know, I'm sure, you know, the one college player who's coming in, you know, really knows a lot, you know, about, you know, the stadium and the atmosphere. I'll buy it for Pablo. I'll buy it for Maxi. They've played here. You know, willing to believe that actually might be true, you know, for them. The other ones, come on. You know, so, like, treat the fans like they're actually intelligent people.
Yeah. I'm just thinking about it because I'm agreeing with everything I'm saying.
Yeah, Ellie, what are your thoughts? Because you've dodged, you know, putting your neck on the line for any of these, like, you know, who should not come back? What, you know, what's a good season?
No, I was gonna say, for me, a good season. I mean, 18s. Yeah, playoffs. I would say getting into the playoffs. I don't want to scrape in either. Like, if this was like a young team, like Darren flipped his whole team and this was all young, then all right, cool. Scrape it into the playoffs, like, I'm cool with that.
Yeah, we're talking old men.
Yeah, like, it's, to be honest with you, anywhere between fourth to seventh feels acceptable for me, right? Like, that feels like, I don't think we're one of the best top three teams in this league, but we shouldn't be near the bottom like how we were in leagues past either. So anywhere between fourth to seventh feels good for me. If we're talking in-season tournament, getting it out of the group, I think that's another success as well, something that we'll obviously do well. I want to see how Darren does with the development of these young players, because that's one thing. Obviously, Darren's identified, like, our club doesn't have the finances, like I've mentioned, like Madison, Lexington, Union Omaha, or Chattanooga, to go out here and just sign massive amounts of players and have that. Like, we're going to have youth players, right? So I want to see if players like Landon Donovan and Beckett Howe, do they start making that turn from potential to, like, key contributor, right? Because they got, I mean, granted, they're still young. Like, I think, what, Beckett's 18, Landon is, what, 17?
I think so, probably.
Yeah. So I want to start seeing that. And it's going to take time. Like, young players, the thing about young players, they take time to develop. You're going to have to give them chances. So, but I want to see how he handles that. I want to see how he incorporates USL Academy. I want to see Darren be a little bit more adaptable with his tactics. Like, I don't want to see him putting round pegs in the square holes. Like, we've seen the Chandler center back. I understand it. He has the profile. He's not a center back. Do not do that experiment anymore. We don't need to see it. The same token, Jao's not a young player, but, like, finding a way how to use Jao in situations where he showed me he could be a good player, right? Like, there was a period of time at the start of the season where, like, Jao and Justin were clicking, and something happened where they just weren't up in form. Keeping them in good form, getting them back. Like, I want to see Darren kind of rotate the center backs. You got this new guy in Gao. Don't be afraid to bench Nathan and Dak if they're out of form. That's something that killed us last year, because we saw Ani. He was – and I kind of don't want to rag on Ani too much, because that man was playing every game, whether good or in bad form, right? Yeah. And there was a part of the year – and Matt, I know you're going to laugh about me. But there was a part of the year where I was talking about him like, yo, he can be in the Defender of the Year race, right? But – obviously, we saw how worn down and ragged he got over the year. So I wanted to see Darren be more flexible with his substitution patterns. You know, Emmy's getting up there in age. Emmy's not cracking 30. He can't go. He might not be able to go every game. So if you brought Arthur in, let's use him effectively. Let's play to his strengths, right? We can't play Arthur the same way how we do Chizagi. You got to change it up. And if that means putting Neil as a 10, when you have Arthur in the starting lineup, all right, cool. You know, I would want to see that. You know, just getting the best out of his players. Like, I do give Darren credit for how he's developed Simon Fitch. He's arguably one of the more reliable players in the league. Obviously, in his team, he's one of the more reliable. And over the course of last year, we saw his development a lot. So, for me, I would say anywhere between fourth to seventh. And please, for the love of God, like, show up in derbies. Show up against Fort Madison. Show up against Greenville. Show up against Chattanooga. Like, there were so many games last year against them where I'll never forget that second game against Fort Madison at home, where this team just looked like they did not want to be there. They looked so uninterested, just dissolved of confidence and everything. And I don't want to see that again, you know, especially in a derby. So that's where I landed at it. But we're kind of long. We're almost going an hour and a half. But, I mean, it's a whole offseason. We haven't recorded it so long.
One more thing.
Yeah.
This will not constitute a successful season, but a failure to do it will absolutely be an unsuccessful season. Wear red shirts, and not like the red shirt that Elliot's wearing right now. No midnight red.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we said that.
Thank you.
We need red. If it's not red.
It's not red. Clear out the whole front office instantly.
Yeah. I didn't get in trouble for the joke, but the people who understood it got it. I need this red. I need it to be the kind of red that West End is. Like, how red West End is, I need that level of red.
What part of West End?
U of R. We're talking about the multi-billion homes, that area red. I need that. Private school red.
River Road? River Road red?
I need that level of red. I don't need, you know, Chesterfield on the county red. We don't need that. I just need that level red, all right? For those of you that know, we'll love it. Guys, all right, so, yeah, this is a wrap on our off-season podcast. I know it's kind of long, but, we miss y'all, and we had a lot to talk about. As the season ramps up, we'll probably be getting back into form more. Guys, any last things before we wrap up this long show?
No, I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, what news drops this week. I'm guessing based on how things have been going, we'll get probably at least three drops this week, you know, maybe a player or two, maybe a preseason schedule, maybe, you know, jersey announcement. But some combination of those are going to be coming. So hopefully there'll be some exciting, you know, updates, maybe a winger or two, you know, in there.
We'll see.
Would be nice.
We'll see.
Maybe a younger player.
Maybe someone that doesn't
give me some more wingers. Please give me some more wingers. We need wingers. We need people who can actually serve the ball into the box or come into the box and help Chizagi out a little bit. Wingers.
I was about to mention there. If you just say winger, Darren goes someone that's 33 and be like, go play, son.
Spare winger.
A real winger, please.
Feel the need.
I'd say we're looking to put together a red army get together in the next few weeks. So I hope that we see, you know, we can reconnect in person in the next few weeks, sort of start building momentum on the fan side, and help grow, you know, our fan base from different parts of the city, different demographics, different communities, coming together to support our hopefully red mighty mighty Cares. So looking forward to hopefully connecting with everybody in person again as we ramp up towards the season starting.
Yeah, honestly. So with that being said, as always, folks, we appreciate you for taking the time of your day to listen to our podcast, because without you, we couldn't do this, and we probably wouldn't do this because nobody will listen. But as the season starts up, make sure to stay connected with our podcast. Go to our website, rivercity93.com. You can stay up to date with all the women's league stuff, the USL Academy team stuff, and, of course, the men's team stuff there. Articles and stuff will be coming out. We might be taking photos. Who knows? But with that being said, for Matt, Kate, Shanir, Gabe, and myself, we will holler at you guys next time. Be easy, be safe, as always. And always, up the roots.